What's up, aspiring and current houseplant parents? Welcome to the Indoor Jungle Podcast. I am Storm Shaw, here to bring you houseplant inspiration, tips on how to curate your indoor jungle on a budget, and keeping those sweet green babies alive. Have you ever been on a podcast before?
I have not. This is definitely a first.
Cool. Awesome. Well, I'm excited to have you. This is our first time ever talking or seeing each other. So that's cool. So hi, I'm Storm.
Nice to meet you, Rachel.
Rachel. Okay. I was wondering if it was Rachel or Rochelle. Like, I couldn't tell with the spelling. I'm sure you get that a lot. So
I do.
Yeah. Well, awesome. So for those that will end up listening to this, I found you on Instagram through my handle at PlantDaddyKC, which is sort of a joke that my friends called me because I got obsessed with plants. But through all of the probably the algorithm feeding me other plant accounts, I saw you, and it's
at PropShopKC.
That's what it is. Okay.
I just recently changed it when I launched my business, so I've had the account since early 2020 at least, and it used to just be Rachel's Garden Adventures, and then I changed it to fit my business. So
okay, that's awesome. So say the tag one more time.
At PropShopKC, like propagation shop, you know?
Perfect. Great. At PropShopKC. Okay, great. Mm-hmm. So obviously you were into plants before you launched your business. So tell me a little bit about that. Like, what was your experience getting into plants? Why did you get into plants?
So I first started gardening in 2018. Maybe I dabbled a little bit before that, but that's when I really first began. Really, it was for mental health reasons at first. A lot of anxiety, depression. I have a lot of childhood trauma in my past that I'm very open about. It's part of my work. I work in the public health field, mental health promotion and disease prevention. So something I'm comfortable sharing, and that's one day I'd like to add, you know, gardening into the mix with public health and take my career that way, but for now they're pretty separate. So I was in therapy, and you know, my therapist just mentioned that gardening is something that can really help with anxiety and depression. So I think I started really with tomatoes indoors in like not the summer. So as you can imagine, it didn't go very well at all. But then from there, my boyfriend, Boston, he got me a little like bonsai gardening kit from Amazon. And I started with that. And from there got into houseplants. For a long time, it was just succulents. And I was actually listening to your podcast and heard about you at the KC Farmers Market with yeah. your first succulent. And it was actually really the same way for me. I got a little Semper Vivum there at the KC Farmers Market, or hens and chicks plant.
Oh, yeah.
It's unfortunately yep. not alive, unlike your plants. For some reason, those do not agree with me. But from there, I have just developed a love for it and quite a collection.
Yeah, it's awesome. I may use, like, if you give me permission, like just a clean shot rather than a video or something at some point, of just so the people listening can see all the plants surrounding you. It's great. I love it.
Sure. Thank you.
Yeah. I love that plants have so much to do with like sort of your mental health journey. I think like, you mentioned you'd listen, and that's so much true for me, like dealing with anxiety, depression. I'm very open about it as well. And I didn't really get into it intentionally to help me deal with my mental health. But I have noticed like marked improvement in my mental health. It's just a really critical part of me maintaining a healthy balance. So that's awesome. Yeah.
And I think as much as it is, spending the time with the plants, not only, you know, taking care of plants, but just the aspect of bringing nature into your home. I think so many people have really lost touch with nature. We don't get to spend a lot of time outside. And so bringing that inside, especially during the winter months, can be really important. Seasonal affective disorder, I think, is very, very real. And so this really has been amazing for me. I've only lived in this house for, this is my second winter here, and being able to have this room where I'm able to really keep plants alive, I don't have that kind of depressive season that I usually do during the winter. So it's amazing all around.
Yeah, I'm super jealous of your sunroom. I was looking at the like saved stories that you have from the sunroom, and I'm like, oh, I would kill for a room with like all this light that I could just put all my plants in. Mm-hmm. Right now they're just sprawling around my apartment. So, but that's okay.
Yeah. And this is the sunroom is really how I got into my business, collecting so many and, how it's helped me through so much. I decided that, you know, I've literally collected such a collection that I can take cuttings. I can sell some, share some, and it doesn't really reduce my collection very much. And then on a bonus side, it does kind of fit in with my, you know, goal of promotion of health, that I get to share that love and knowledge with others. And that's my real goal. I mean, that's why all of my, if you purchase a propagation kit with my cuttings, it comes with a little care guide and everything and how to care for it. So it's really setting you up for success.
That's awesome. Yeah. So you kind of already went into this a little bit, but, how did you decide to come up with, or how did you come up with your business concept?
Yeah, really, I just have so many that at first I was giving them away free to friends. And then some friends started offering me payment for it. And I was like, hey, this could really be a thing. And I love to share my plants with others. That's like, some of my plants are trailing length longer than I am. So I don't want to just take those and throw them away when I cut them. And I also don't need 10 of the same plant either. So.
Right. So you don't need to get yourself in propagated yourself into a corner where you've got 1,000 cuttings of your own plant. Yeah,
exactly.
Very cool. Yeah. So I'm curious to hear a little bit more. To me, like plants are so much more than just like, even just talking about plants always to me bleeds into more than just talking about plants. And already you've kind of touched on that a little bit, that like you want to kind of blend your work with gardening, and that your business sort of is about promoting health in others. So I'm curious just to talk on that a little bit more. Did you have any plans in the future for your business to like more directly incorporate some like personal mental health or anything like that?
I have a lot of ideas. Not yet so many plans. For one, I am a master gardener student, technically. I've got to volunteer this spring, and then I'll be officially graduated. And they have a lot of options for doing continuing education and classes for the community. So I think it'd be really cool to do like lessons on houseplants, because funny thing, actually, there aren't really any houseplant enthusiasts or specialists within the Master Gardener program. So they were really excited to have me on board. So I'm definitely interested in like doing it in that way, is like a community service, not even like, you know, for fee based or anything like that, just to promote gardening. And then also, of course, bringing mental health into it, talking about the therapeutic aspects, the physical health aspects in your house. Another route I've thought about going is vegetable gardening. Food deserts, real problem. Mm-hmm. Lack of nutrition, a real problem for so many people. And basic gardening, really, when you think about it, should be something that people learn in school. And a lot of people really don't. So I think it'd be cool to incorporate community gardening within my local community in the greater KC area, to allow for more community gardens with, connection with Master Gardener's oversight. I think that'd be helpful, you know, just to help plan it all and get everything. Yeah. And there are Master Gardener programs, not just in Johnson County, but every county pretty much in Kansas, as well as Missouri. So it wouldn't be too hard to really increase like community gardens, vegetable gardens, right now in Johnson County, we only have, I think, one that is designated for providing, like, you know, vegetables to the community, and that's at the health department. And as amazing as that program is, it's for the WIC program. I love the garden out there. It's not for everyone, you know, so it would be amazing to expand that to some more urban areas as well.
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, I live downtown, and, you know, I live probably basically at like 31st and Gillum almost ish. But all that to say that I'm only a quarter of a mile from Troost. And if I just go right over to Troost, there's, the closest grocery store is probably over in Westport. I mean, there's some like, I think there's a place called like Save-A-Lot and stuff like that, but like there's very little produce available. And that's just like the way it is for a lot of urban Kansas City. So yeah, I mean, I see it firsthand. I think that's something I didn't really spend much time thinking on. That's really cool to hear people considering not just how gardening and growing plants can benefit you personally, but then expanding that even more to how can it benefit the community. That's awesome. Yeah. Tell me a little bit more about the master gardener program that you're doing. Like, what does it mean to be a master gardener, and what can you do with that? And yeah.
So it is a statewide program. In Kansas, it's through K-State Research and Extension. So there are different bases in different counties throughout the state. They host the program once a year. And without getting too much, you know, into the program and too much details, it is, I would say, like a horticulture program. All of the basics smashed into a, you know, I'd say half a semester of classes. It runs from September to December, but it's only once or twice a week, depending on whether it's in person or virtual. As when I was doing it, it was virtual due to the coronavirus. And so it pretty much teaches you the basics that you need to know on everything to get started in the community, in your own garden. And then once you're a master gardener and you've completed your volunteer hours, which is really cool because you get to volunteer at a local garden in your own community. And it could be a vegetable garden. It could be like ornamental plants. It really depends on what you want to do. So after you do that, there's like advanced training you can do. And you're always a master gardener for, you know, ever, as long as you keep up the training and the hours. And so they get into some really advanced trainings with like fungus and stuff like that. But I unfortunately haven't had the pleasure of taking part into that. So I've only seen a lot of the basics. You can't really use your name to promote yourself. So like, it's not really on my website at all. It's just a part of my education. It's not like a title I would use to, hey, I'll come design your garden. I'm a master gardener. Like, you know, I'm not a horticulturalist, but it's just kind of basic training. And it really, you are an asset to the community. And most of what you do is helping and promoting community health through gardening, really.
Okay. That's awesome. I had no idea that there was a program like that. Do you know if there's, if that's like mostly a Kansas thing, or are they?
Nope. I'm pretty sure it's nationwide. Most states have a program. And usually I think there's one base university. I was talking in a plant group on Facebook, and I think it might be through UNKC, but I'm not entirely sure.
Gotcha.
Don't quote me on that one.
Yeah. No, that's cool. Wow. That's something you said. It's like the courses are over the span of a semester, roughly?
Kind of. Yeah, from like September to December. And it's usually once a week in person for like the entire day. Or when I was doing a virtual, they split it up into twice a week, 3 to 4 hour sessions.
Okay.
And I mean, the education aspect was just amazing. Like, I got to learn so much. And the fee for the course, there is a fee, was only like $120, which is a bit of an investment, but they provide you with a giant resource binder, like with a bunch of information on all the topics you cover. And at the end of the program, since it was virtual, I have the ability to go back and rewatch everything. And then in person, they actually would do like hands-on stuff and give you more, you know, more in-depth experience that would really make it worth that fee.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that to me, you know, for some people, 120 would probably be a lot, and it's not, it's not, you know, it's not pennies, but I think it sounds like the skills you get out of it and sort of the civic duty that it implies is really valuable, especially in urban settings where, like you've mentioned, the food desert and just lack of access to quality produce. That's awesome.
And luckily in Johnson County, you know, we don't have to deal with that too much. But if it was an issue, you know, we're there to help. And I'm not exactly sure of our ability to help out other areas. But that would be something of interest. And another thing along with the education is the connectivity of it. You meet so many other people who garden. And most of the people that I've met are usually retired age. So they have years worth of experience and knowledge to share with you about gardening.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's kind of where I was going to go next, is just the like you said, the sheer amount of wisdom that comes in something like that, being connected to people of retirement age who've been gardening for, who knows, 30, 40 years. And then you combine all that and you're talking like centuries of knowledge that you can, yeah. And I think for me, it's easy, and maybe this is just a character flaw in me, it's easy for me to like see my plants, see how I'm taking care of them, and think like, oh, I've got this thing figured out, you know, like they're alive, they're doing well, they're thriving. And then realize, like, as soon as a leaf turns yellow, like, what the heck? And I start reaching out to people like, what do I do? So that's really cool that you kind of found a potential network of people you could ask more complex questions to. So you started with that indoor tomato plant. I had an indoor pepper plant that also didn't survive. But did you, how much outdoor gardening do you kind of do?
So right now, well, right now, not much going on because we're right in the middle of January. But we have a very large garden bed. It is like 10 or 12 feet by like 6 feet. We overshot a little bit. It's kind of hard once it gets fully grown to go in there and harvest everything. But I'm actually looking to increase the space this year and build another bed. We grow tomatoes, peppers, cucumbers. I've got a strawberry patch out there that I planted last year, hoping to get a really good harvest this year. We've got a blackberry bush that we inherited with the house that I feel so fortunate to have because it produces, I mean, hundreds of blackberries every spring. And that's all we have right now. But I'm really looking forward to increasing that, because another thing I'd like to do is go to farmers markets this spring and summer. And because last year, I mean, just with that like 10 by 6 feet plot, we had so much produce that we didn't know what to do with, couldn't eat it all. So I'd love to go to farmers markets with, you know, specifically grown produce for farmers markets, and also share some of my plants. And I also am, for some reason, I've got a knack for marigolds. Maybe they're just really easy to grow. but I've got a lot of different marigold varieties that I'm about to start sowing indoors, and hopefully I'll be able to share those at farmers markets too.
Oh, very cool. Yeah, that's awesome. I have very little experience with just straight up flowers in that regard. What is your favorite indoor plant that you have, if you had to pick one?
I don't like this question because it's so hard to pick.
Yeah, I know, it's brutal. I'm sorry.
You know, I think that I really like, you had to ask this, didn't you?
Had to.
You know, I'm going to go with one that's really not too extravagant, because it is one of the first indoor houseplants that I really got into. And that's Swedish ivy. There are a couple of different varieties. They've got just, you know, bright green. They've got some velvety leaves. It's a really fast growing, easy to care for plant. It trails endlessly. I've got one at the top of my room and it's like probably 5 feet as thick as can be.
Oh, wow.
And that's one that I inherited from my stepmom only about a year ago.
Okay.
So I'm pretty impressed with it.
You said you inherited it. How long had she had it before?
Probably not too long, honestly.
Yeah.
I'm not for sure about that one though.
Okay.
But I lived with her, you know, for a few years before I moved out, and I hadn't seen it around before I had inherited it about a year after I moved out. So.
Okay. Gotcha. Yeah, I was just curious. Like, I've heard stories from other plant folks that, you know, they inherit like some sort of dracaena variety or I'm trying to think of the other, like Sansevieria, so some sort of snake plant that's like 30 years old that their mom had back in the 70s. And I'm just like, oh, that's so cool.
So I actually do have a gigantic, it's a philodendron. I don't know if it's a hope or a celum or if that's how you pronounce it. I'm absolutely not good with name pronunciation.
Isn't that funny? Because you never say it in conversation. So you see them all and you're like, I know what those are, but I don't really say those to people. So, yeah.
mm-hmm. But it's taller than I am. And I'm 5'3", so it's at least 6 feet. It's more of like a tree. I think it's kind of been bonsai because it looks like it's in maybe a 14 to 15 inch pot.
Okay.
And it is 45 years old.
Oh, wow.
So it needs, yeah. It needs a much bigger pot. And I actually inherited that from my master gardening mentor, which is just kind of someone who had been in the program for a few years that we were partnered with that could kind of guide us along if we had any questions. She just didn't have room for it anymore. Said she was, you know, getting older and had some plants to share.
That's such a cool concept. This master gardener, like passing down on to you this 40, I don't know. It's just such a cool concept. I love it.
I have to make sure I don't kill it, which is very scary because when you inherit a plant, you know, it's got a good foundation. It's very strong and sturdy, but once they start to decline, like you got to act quickly.
Yeah. And you don't like, it's now in all new lighting conditions, all new humidity conditions, mm-hmm. like, and all those things. And it's just like, I better not kill 45 years worth of work.
Yeah, I know. And I got it in the middle of November and it had been kind of out in like a porch that got fairly cold. So it's like, I don't want to repot it. It's dormant right now. So we'll see what happens come springtime.
Yeah. Yeah. Gotcha. Well, awesome. I won't keep you too much longer. We've been talking for about 30 minutes, believe it or not. Did you have any final thoughts, anything you wanted to share or want people to know about your business? Like maybe what's the best way to contact you or anything like that?
Yeah. So I have both Facebook and Instagram. And then I have a website that is at propshopkc.company.site. So any of those routes are good to contact me. My email and phone number are on my website and my Facebook, I'm pretty sure. And for anything that I have to say specifically that I want people to know, you know, my business is evolving every day with me as I get more ideas. And so it, you know, is much as it is a business and it's ready to go, it's also a work in progress. And every day I've got new things added and new ideas. And like I said, marigolds, and I'm also working on some coleus seeds, some harder to find varieties. So follow me on Facebook or Instagram and just stay tuned to what I have to share.
Awesome. I'll make sure to put your all your tags and stuff in the description of the episode so people can find you. Hopefully we'll chat again soon. I hope to have sort of maybe a check-in after in a couple months or something, but
sure.
Awesome. Thanks for taking the time and look forward to hearing from you again.
Of course. Thank you very much for having me on.
Yeah. Nice to meet you. See you, Rachel.
You you as well. Bye.